Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Looking forward to a lively dialogue and discussion today on an issue that I believe we all need to ask the question. And I believe the question demands an answer. And that question is, how do we get here? I'm talking about morally, ethically, biblically, theologically, doctrinally, socially, financially, militarily, politically. How did we get to where we are in America today? What's brought about the plummeting, the decline, the abyss that we now see ourselves in as a nation? How did we get to where we are? We're going to discuss that today in as much detail as an hour will allow us to do. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. And lest I forget to mention it, and I do that quite often, your telephone number to reach our microphones today, 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. And let me remind you, each and every day as we face the issues, we look at the world events, local, state, national, international. We look at it through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called having a central biblicist worldview. Now, let me admit something to you. I've been using that term for some 20 or 30 years. I've never read it anyplace. I don't know of anyone that originated it. I have simply coined the term and have used it for many, many years. It's a central biblicist worldview. Perhaps you say, what does that mean? That means everything that takes place, we look at it, analyze it, scrutinize it through, what does the Word of God say? How does God's Word relate to the events? Each and everything that we see taking place in society today, the trajectory that our nation is going in, what's happening in Russia and the UK, what's taking place in Israel today, and in one of the future broadcasts in the near future, we're going to deal with some of the updates on what's happening in Israel and what that connotes biblically. But we look at every event and everything through the prism of the Word of God. It's what I call the truth book. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made a profound statement. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. That word indeed means truly, surely, absolutely. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The indication is, as Jesus speaks to his disciples, it's a question mark if you continue in my word. It is if you continue in the word of God, then you are my disciples indeed. Jesus says the litmus test of determining whether or not you're a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word disciple means follower, learner. If you're a true learner, a true disciple, a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the litmus test is, do you continue in the Word of God? And it's as we continue in the Word of God, Jesus says to his disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are a lot of people that will give a partial quote of that and say the truth will set you free. No, it's if you continue in the Word of God. We will then know the truth. That goes back to a central biblicist worldview. It's looking at something and knowing the truth about what is taking place based on the Word of God. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Furthermore, in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that endures forever, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a mindset today that we can have our own truth, make our own truth. In fact, one of the latest surveys, polls that's taken, indicates that the 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, each of the millennials, 55%, say, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that means just as in the book of Judges and the scripture, the Bible says that that they were doing what they felt was right in their own eyes. There's a mindset today that notwithstanding what the Word of God says, somehow, some way that an individual can decide what is truth, what is moral, what is ethical, what is biblical, what is proper, and they do so based on their own intellect, their own sense of what is right and what is wrong. It was a statement by Jim DeMint, former U.S. Senator, that made this statement. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, recently, just a couple of days ago, Emperor, Magistrate, King Joe Biden made a phony trip to the border. It was a stage set simply for photographs and for PR work. He didn't really go to the border. He went to one of the beautiful walls that President Trump had installed, stood there with the towering wall behind him, with a few dressed in the regalia for the Border Patrol, and pretended to have a inquiry about the border. He did not see the wretchedness that's taking place. He did not see having any conversation about the 850 illegals that have died by drowning or by a snake bite, et cetera, trying to get to America because Joe Biden invited them. In fact, when they some of those illegals, you're not supposed to say that, they're just simply called immigrants today. But when some of those illegals are interviewed by conservative media, they say, ask, why did you come? Because Joe Biden invited us to come, is the answer. But nevertheless, the talking head that's about as ignorant as any woman, any human being I've ever seen, that's the press secretary for Joe Biden, she says that he's been to the border. She said that he's, since day one, they've been concerned about controlling the border. In fact, his chief for the border says that the border is under control. But ladies and gentlemen, by the close of last year, there was over 5 million, and they're saying now that there's upward of 6 million that are the gotaways of those that have come into the nation illegally. The point that I make with that digression from the issue that we're speaking on today is that we have a mindset today that somehow, some way, we can speak a lie and call it truth, and by doing so, everybody's supposed to believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not what truth is about. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, and ladies and gentlemen, we're as far from the truth today, politically, socially, economically, morally, ethically, as we have ever been as a nation. But the secularist George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And if you want to have someone to despise you, to hate you, to reject you, to diss you, it simply stand for truth. I'm talking about any kind of truth, truth about theological issues, truth about the Bible, truth about morals and ethics, or the immorals and unethical manner in America. Tell the truth about Joe Biden and his entourage. Tell the truth about Hunter Biden and the washing of money in the Ukraine, which is taking place in a mega, mega, mega fashion today. Our tax money is going over there by the billions, and it's going back into the pockets and the coffers of the Biden family cabal for the most part, in my most humble opinion, and I believe one day that'll be revealed. But Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factual today. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, And he made a charge then, by the way, some of the doctrines and the theological persuasions of Jan Hus, I differ with. He was back yesteryear, but he did make some good statements that I'm quoting in this broadcast today. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to love the truth enough that we're willing to stand for it, even if our life is in the crosshairs. And may I say, with a little footnote to that statement, I believe we're getting closer and closer each and every day where Christians will be openly persecuted, openly prosecuted, and as in the first century, thrown to the lions, if you will, for standing for the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Christians are hated today, despised today, rejected today, persecuted and prosecuted today, and we'll talk about that in part of our broadcast today. And let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand, landscape and lawn care business. Ladies and gentlemen, they can tell you about the not only the business but the equipment that effectuates the running of that business of landscape and lawn care. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find the flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in at Tools for Time. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917, 904-831-0917. Recently, I had someone to say, I listened intently. I wanted to call, but I didn't hear a phone number. So I try to remind myself to give you the phone number as often as possible so that you will have that number at hand. You can dial that number, jump in with the dialogue and discussion today. How did we get here? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we remind ourselves where we are politically. We need to review where we are politically, morally, socially, ethically, spiritually, and economically. We need to ask the question, ladies and gentlemen, when we analyze where we are morally, ethically, politically, socially, economically, militarily, et cetera, et cetera, and all of the facets and all of the veins and avenues that we talk about in life and living today, as we examine how did we get here? How did we get here? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, when a nation rejects God, when a nation bans prayer, when a nation puts our trust in government rather than God, when a nation seeks to brainwash, sexualize, and demoralize our kids in school, when a nation takes our youngest and our weakest, our human beings in the mother's womb, and murders them blatantly, when a nation says no to God, when a nation, ladies and gentlemen, is divided, and that's where we are today, according to Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, if a home is divided, if a nation is divided, God's word says that it'll fall. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply do a little parenthetical footnote. I believe that we are in the progressive stages of God's judgment on America for what we've done in relationship to our educational system, in relationship to our moral ethical condition, in a relationship to our decline morally, ethically, politically, socially, economically, militarily, et cetera, et cetera. We're in decline. Contrary to the Biden cabal and the Biden lying mouthpiece that will tell you each and every day that everything's in control. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not under control. In fact, I am fascinated by Victor Davis Hanson's article recently, and it said, "The coup that we never knew." And let me just read you this. It sets the stage for the balance of where we're going and what we're talking about today. I'll get into a little more of the weeds, if you will, independently of what Victor Davis Hanson, that's D-A-V-I-S, Victor Davis Hanson. He is a educator. He is a historian. He is a knowledgeable man. He's done a good job of analyzing the condition of America and isolating what we are doing, where we are. He said, did someone or something seize control of the United States? What happened to the U.S. border? Where did it go? Who erased it? Why and how did 5 million people enter our country illegally just last year? Did Congress secretly repeal our immigration laws? Did President Joe Biden issue an executive order allowing foreign nationals to walk across the border and reside in the United States as they pleased? Since when did money not have to be paid back? Who insisted that the more dollars the federal government printed, the more prosperity would follow? When did America embrace zero interest? Why did we believe $30 trillion in debt is no longer a big deal? Was it not against the federal law to swarm the homes of Supreme Court justices, to pick and intimidate their households in an effort to effect their rulings? How then, with impunity, did bullies surround the homes of Justice Brett Kavanaugh, Samuel Alito, Amy Coney Barrett, Neil Gorsuch, John Roberts, and Clarence Thomas, furious over a court decision on abortion? How could these mobs so easily throng our justices' homes with placards declaring off with their heads, et cetera, et cetera? Since when did Americans create a government ministry of truth? And on whose orders did the FBI contract private news organizations to censor stories it did not like and writers whom it feared? When did we assume the FBI had the right to subvert the campaign of a candidate it disliked? Was it legal suddenly for one presidential candidate to hire a foreign ex-spy to subvert the campaign of her rival? Was some state or federal law passed that allowed biological males to compete in female sports? Did Congress enact such a law? Did the Supreme Court guarantee that biological male students could shower in gym lockers and locker rooms and bathrooms with biological women? When did the government pass a law depriving Americans of their freedom during a pandemic? In America, can healthcare officials simply cancel rental contracts and declare loan payments in suspension? Since when did the people decide that 70% of the voters would not cast their ballots on Election Day? Was this revolutionary change the subject of national debate, a heated congressional session, or the votes of dozens of state legislatures? What happened to election night returns? Did the fact that Americans created more electronic ballots and computerized tallies make it take much longer to tabulate the votes? What happened to the once trusted FBI? Why almost overnight did its directors decide to mislead Congress, to deceive judges, and concoct tales for fake dossiers with doctored writs before the courts? Did Congress pass a law that our federal leaders and the FBI or the CIA could lie with impunity under oath? Who redefined our military? With whose consent? Another question, and finally, Victor Davis Hanson said, how did a virus cancel the Constitution? Did the lockdowns rob us of our sanity? Or was it the woke hysteria that ignited our collective madness? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that sets the stage. for asking the question, how did we get here? What brought us to the point that Victor Davis Hanson so clearly articulated in his list of questions? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have come to the point and place that we are today because as a nation, we've turned our backs on God. We've embraced immoral standards. We are openly rejecting God's plan through God's word for man. How did America get to the place that we find ourselves today? First, I believe it's because we abandoned God. I believe it's because we made a decision to abandon God. I'm looking at an article that says, leftists insist that the Bible's morality actually is hate speech. Did you know that? Jesus said, if the world hates you, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. Jesus said, if the world persecuted me, it's going to persecute you. And somehow, some way, we think today that as Christians and moral ethicists, we are saying somehow that we are above the hatred and the persecution and the prosecution. But ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves right in the very crosshairs as never before in the history of American Christianity, beyond the first century, when Christians were cast to the lion's dens, beheaded for the gospel. And ladies and gentlemen, we're on the fast track of repeating our history. But this writer says, leftists insist the Bible's morality actually is hate speech. In a move that proposes government impose what appears to be a clear violation of free speech and provisions of the Constitution, a group of activists in Loudoun County, Virginia, is demanding that the school board ban hate speech in any of its meetings. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, a group organized a petition after another parent quoted from the Bible's admonition to take care of the children. The district, of course, has been ground zero for the fight by parents against the leftist ideologies adopted by some schools and their supporting activities to promote the sodomite LGBTQ agenda for the children. During the public comment section, one speaker accused the board of promoting immoral behavior that was against God's design and natural order. That was immediately called hate speech. Ladies and gentlemen, today, from the standpoint of the average person in America, for the atheist, the agnostic, the God haters, and the Biden cabal, and all of those, a majority of those, and I could say all of those with impunity, I believe, in the Washington Beltway, that's supposedly representing we the people, somehow, some way, they've determined that we need to abandon God, abandon the Bible, abandon the cross, abandon Jesus Christ, and then simply call everyone that stands for all of those things simply speaking hate speech. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said before on this broadcast, may I repeat at the risk of redundancy, there's no such thing as hate speech. It's free speech. You may not like it. I may not like it, but it's not hate speech. There's no place in the Constitution that identifies anything to be called hate speech. But yet we have coined the term, classified different speeches, and today the leftist, the Marxist, the socialist, the BLM, Communist Democrat Party wants to somehow bifurcate the First Amendment and split it up and hair split and call some speech bad and some speech good, and especially if it is speech that's derived from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, it is now being called hate speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we've abandoned God. We've kicked God out of the schools. We've kicked God out of the classrooms. We banned prayer in all of our schools. And ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, we banned prayer in the name of Jesus in the public forums. If you don't believe that, just check with the city council downtown. Check with any city council or any governmental body across the nation, whether it's on state or local standpoint. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone that stands and prays in a public forum in a political setting, they are looked at with disdain, chided, challenged, and rejected and refused to be allowed to do that again if you pray in Jesus' name. You can pray in Allah's name. You can pray in Muhammad's name. You can pray in any atheist name if you like. But if you pray in Jesus' name, it is viewed as hate speech. It's viewed as improper, and it ought not to be done publicly. That's the mindset today. I'm talking about how did we get here. I'm identifying the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental rationale and reasons behind where we are today and how did we get here. We've gotten here because we've abandoned God. We've jettisoned the cross. We have rejected Jesus Christ. We have somehow, some way, felt that we need to obey government and not obey God anymore. And ladies and gentlemen, I think that is the fast track for getting America judged by Almighty God. And I believe one of the things that we're finding today that is very, very clear and it's taking place, part of the things that we see as a result of rejecting God, the thing that we see as a result of abandoning the Word of God, what we see as a result of not teaching the Word of God in our public. Do you realize, and I'm still less than 100 years old, it seems that as though just yesteryear, growing up in school system, our teacher would read the Bible every morning. The students would be assigned a Bible memory verse to stand before the class and quote the next day. The Bible was read. The Bible was studied. The Bible was on the teacher's desk. The Bible was the guide for the teacher to use. We would then pray and have a pledge to the flag, pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America. We were taught right and wrong. We were taught that sin is sin. We were taught that God ought to be obeyed in a public school setting. And we've abandoned that today. And we see the little heathens in our public school system today that hate God, hate our country, hate our nation because they've been taught that America's wrong, America's evil, America's wicked. The founders of America were wicked men. Founders of America owned slaves. The founders of America were those that were God haters. The founders of America were not religious. The founders of America were just deists. And I could go on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, we have undermined the very foundation that God has given us. And it's very clear in the scripture, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms 11:3. We're going to go back to that in a few minutes on this broadcast today and talk about what the righteous can do and what we need to do and what we should do. Because the question is asking the scripture, if the foundation be destroyed and they are destroyed, being destroyed. So the question is, what can the righteous do? And there are a lot of things we need to be doing today, ladies and gentlemen, we're not doing. I'm looking at an article that says, groomers, drag shows, child mutilation, and minor attraction persons. Let's start at the very beginning of the term groomers. I'm not referring to pet groomers here, this writer says. I'm talking about something deeply disturbing, pedophilia, a psychiatric disorder which an adult or older adolescent experiences at a primary sexual attraction to young children. Drag Queen Story Hours began, events started to activate in San Francisco with the goal of promoting reading and diversity. There were difficult to watch. The events, usually geared for children 3 to 11 years of age, are hosted by drag queens who read children's books in public libraries. They gained attraction and attention at first because the concept was seen even in San Francisco as unconventional, as libraries, talking about public libraries, paid for taxpayer dollars, ladies and gentlemen, are usually more reserved, and drag queens traditionally are associated with bars and lounges. The founders of the New York chapter of the Drag Queen Story Hour, as a nonprofit, said that as of June 2019, they had 35 U.S. chapters and 5 international chapters. The program strives to instill the imagination of play of gender fluidity to children and give kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models to follow, end quote. Over the years, the drag queens have gone from simply reading books to our kids to brunches and even events where they suggestively dance for and dance with our young children. When gender ideologies are accused of pursuing young children at school, public libraries, and online libraries, then their goal of radicalizing and sexualizing them, those activities vehemently deny being groomers. But just because these are not actually sexually molesting children physically, certainly doesn't protect them from the charges of being groomers. Groomers can be targeting our children and abusing them psychologically, emotionally, and destroying them deliberately by sexualizing them and manipulating them to be followers of the LGBTQ agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, how did we get here? I'm wanting to build the foundation for us to understand how we got to where we are, where we're going, and what God is going to do with America, lest we wake up, speak up, stand up, and be salt and light as God's called us to be. I believe it's time Christians stand up and speak. I believe it's time we come out of the closet. I believe it's time that we are willing to stand before school boards, city councils, and other political organizations and demand that the Christian voice be heard and that morals and ethics and values be reinstated. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1-minute break.